WQ is on.
Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one.
99 Pro.
Automatic. Rip it.
It's the Air Force song. Off we go.
Who's playing it?
I'm sure that's Houston.
Oh, okay, let's listen now.
Hey, good smooth ride, Ed. Roger, copy now.
Right.
Looking good, altitude 2,400 feet.
Right.
All up to the 30.
But want some instant replays on that.
You know, that looks so easy after that slow takeoff from Earth atmosphere and getting an Earth gravity and getting a big weight off.
Yeah.
Fairly smaller weight, 3,500 pounds of lift. Looks like you'd do it with a rubber band and just there it went.
That's the true catapult shot. Wow.
Let's hear them out as they get up to altitude.
Sounds like the wind rustling, doesn't it? Oh, what a view of the rail, huh? Boulder track comes down into it.
They tell us from Houston that music is from Falcon itself, a tape recorder aboard Falcon playing the Air Force song. How
very,
about that?
Very good show.
That music is from the CSM downlink.
Oh, CSM. Well, we got some bum information here that it was from the Falcon. It's actually from the Endeavor.
Network corrects that to say it's from the LEM downlink.
Uh-huh. Houston was wrong.
They're in orbit now. Engines off.
Falcon, your egg still looks good.
So apparently they...
Hey, we copy. Okay,
call
I understand.
Egg still looks good. Switch or something
it could have been just a bit of data that confused the computer and just... not confused it, but... there are sensing points where it will sense various bits of data. If it doesn't like it, we'll put an alarm on. You go back and check it. If it still works properly, it's all right.
Now begins their chase of the command module.
They're
at orbit about 175 miles behind the command module, but they're on a much different orbit. They're on a highly elliptical orbit, still with a low point of about 10.4 miles. Actually, the figure came through as 10.2. They were aiming for 10.4. They did very well. On a lower orbit, they, of course, go around the moon faster.
Okay, we're pitching up the radar.
Faster. You're going in relation to the actual distance we covered around the moon, so they will catch up and come in front of the command module within a couple of hours' time for their docking.
The live coverage of the liftoff came via the camera mounted on the lunar rover, which was left behind. We'll have more on the Apollo crew's last day on the moon in a few moments.
But they did have a bit of a scare tonight when they discovered what appeared to be a possible leak between the main capsule and the lunar module Falcon. But they discovered no real problem and jettisoned the Falcon after a two-hour delay. Now the mission is proceeding on schedule. Before that spectacular liftoff, which you saw a few minutes ago, astronaut Scott and Irwin set up the first lunar post office, canceling a special stamp in honor of their moon walk. Earth viewers had this view of the ceremony, with Scott providing the commentary, and then saw him give a surprise science lesson.
A good omen has arrived at Mission Control headquarters in Houston for the safe return of Apollo 15. A bouquet of red roses, a dozen roses from a mysterious lady in Montreal, Canada. She sent them on every Apollo flight to the moon, starting with the Apollo 8 mission, Christmas of 1968. A card attached to today's bouquet read, "Special love to all, truly boundless is my special feeling. I'm so close to you every day of my life." And it was signed, "Your own Cindy Diane, Montreal, Canada." Well, ever since Apollo 8, NASA, with all of its resources, Earth resources, that is, and newsmen have looked for Cindy Diane in Montreal. Nobody's been able to find her yet, but the dozen red roses arrived right on time today. Families of the spacemen of Apollo 15 are at Mission Control in Houston, as well as most of the officials of the space program, all standing there in the VIP, the very important person. You're listening to hear the Endeavour confirm the drogue shoots out. Should come about now.
And he should be on the mains now.
Shoot deployment should have been, yes, just now. It's the voice of Apollo Mission Control in Houston, Jack Riley.
There's that beautiful sight, as John just said, beautiful. There's no other word for those three shoots.
I think you've got $445 million in this mission. A precious load of moon rock. And beyond Gayu, the lives of three men. After it all, it's three parachutes that have to do the job. Like he was saying, 8 miles from here, Okinawa.
Recovery peak of 1015,
magnetic at 274 miles. They got a foul shoot there?
That may be the drogue. That shouldn't be there. I don't know what that is.
Looks like they've got two chutes, Wally.
It does.
What does that do to the increase in their speed and landing?
They land. They hit about 32 feet per second, which is well within their tolerance. The land landing, I wouldn't particularly like with two, but a water landing, I wouldn't worry about it at all. How would you feel, John?
I think two chutes would be all right.
Yeah. Gets them down a little bit faster anyway.
So 3,500 feet now, but they sure do have a foul chute.
They really do, yeah.
It's,
I think it's, it
looks like it's squinted there, doesn't it?
Yeah. Looks like it's
fine. It looks like the reefing line didn't cut on that, John.
That's what it looks like. It's pretty hard to tell this far away.
Yeah. There's a perimeter around the base of the chute that keeps the chute necked in as you see that one chute. And it's supposed to cut and open up and permit the chute to deploy fully. There's your splash. Coming up.
I thought I heard him say, "Stand by for a hard impact."
That's a hard impact.
Pretty good splash. What a picture of it. My gosh.
Landing velocity.